blessings upon us as we dig into your word together. Have thine own way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Today we want to talk about the promises of God.
All right.
The promises of God. There is a thing called destiny. There is natural destiny and there is spiritual destiny. Natural destiny is your will being done. Spiritual destiny is God's will being done. Destiny is what is fated to happen to someone or something. Foreordained course of events. If you know like I know, God has a plan for your life. And that is your destiny. But if you never become spiritual, you may never get to your spiritual destiny. You will get to your natural destiny. Amen. There's a difference with your will and God's will. See, I would submit to you today that God's promises to us are somewhat like God's covenants. They are conditional and unconditional. In other words, there are things that God will do based on our actions, and there are things that God will do no matter what we say or do. For example, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, that is a conditional promise. That's based on you and I believing and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we shall be saved. If we decide not to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will not be saved. That is a conditional promise. Now, look at this unconditional promise. Matthew 5:45, part B. "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." This is what God does no matter what our actions are. No matter what we say, God's going to turn day into night, night into day. The season's going to change. Those are promises that God makes, but they are unconditional, which means no matter what you and I do, God's going to do. How about Revelation 21? He makes a new heaven and a new earth. That's not based on you and I. That's based on a promise of God. "I shall make a new heaven and a new earth. Old things are all passed away." That doesn't matter. God, if I don't praise God, God's still going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So this is what God's saying to us. Conditional and unconditional promises. What is a promise? A promise is the assurance or pledge given that one will do or refrain from doing some act or that something will or will not occur. A promise is the assurance or pledge given that one will do or refrain from doing some act or that something will or will not occur. Anybody ever been promised something and it never came to pass? Anybody experienced broken promises? A promise is only as good as the ability of the one making the promise to fulfill it. So be careful who you receive promises from. Folk will promise you stuff, look you dead in your eye, and promise you and tell a lie. That's so you can get off their back or get out their face. I'm so glad God's not like that. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. But see, it's according to whether or not it's conditional or unconditional. Some promises God gives to you and I, it requires that you and I do something. And some promises that he gives to us, it requires that you and I just be. What we need to be mindful of is the fact that according to John 4:24, that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, when God promises us stuff, he promises us stuff in the spiritual, not in the natural. That's why you and I struggle with this thing called church. That's why we're sitting back trying to figure out what is it that God would have me do. I don't know what God, because you never got out of the natural. We're in the natural trying to receive the spiritual. And God is speaking spiritually. He's promising us stuff spiritually. And we're trying to figure this thing out naturally. I remember we had a mighty Men of Valor conference. And one of the preachers said, you know what's wrong with us? We always trying to analyze everything God tells us. And it's called paralysis of analysis. So you don't go nowhere. You don't do nothing. You trying to figure out everything. You ain't got no faith. Well, if God told me to do this, then why should I do this? And how can I do that? And you never move. They that worship Him. When God speaks, He don't speak in your natural. That's where visions and dreams come from. He speaks in your spirit. I know we live in the natural, but we are spiritual beings in a natural situation. And see, when God speaks to you, it will manifest itself in the natural, but you get it from heaven. We struggle with that. Because if it don't make sense to me naturally, some of us, we can't move. That's why we don't have no faith. How God gonna do that? All Mary said was, how shall this be? I know not a man. Lord have mercy. See, God doesn't mind us asking Him questions as long as we're ready to receive the answers. But look at this. God's promise is spiritual, not natural. When God moves, when God speaks, He speaks in the spiritual. Therefore, when God speaks a promise to you, it's spiritual, not natural. It's not in the flesh. That's why a lot of us can't receive. That's why we go around trying to get confirmation on top of confirmation on top of confirmation on top of confirmation. Because it's in the natural. We thought, I know God don't want me to do that. I know they ain't going to let me do that in the church. I need to let somebody know when God promised you something, guess what? He took care of all that other stuff. All the stuff you worried about as to why you shouldn't go tell nobody. God told you to do this. He took care of all that other stuff. But when we try to discern God in the natural, in the flesh, it will not happen. We will not fulfill the promises. We will not experience the promise of God. We are spiritual beings. That's the point of 1 Corinthians 2:14. Turn to that with me, 1 Corinthians 2:14. That's why you got to stay hooked to the vine. You got to stay hooked to the vine. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, I wish I had a witness in here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the what? Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What is the word of God? The word of God is saying, a lot of us come to church and we stay in the natural, so the word don't mean nothing. The songs don't mean nothing. The prayers don't mean nothing. Sunday school don't mean nothing. Bible studies, why? Because it's foolishness. Because in the natural, we never get to the point where we can begin to understand. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Because they're spiritually discerned. See, God's trying to speak to you. And you say, I don't know what God's trying to say. I can't understand God. Because you got to get out of the natural into the spiritual. It's like somebody come to me and all they know is Russian. They keep on speaking to me in Russian. I don't know. They think something. God like that. He's trying to speak to you. And you say, oh, God, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking to foreign language. God said, if you get in the spirit, if you just get 5 minutes in the spirit with me, I'll begin to open up to you some things of my word, the stuff that you read and it didn't make any sense. God said, if you just get in the spirit, when you read God's word, read it as God, you know, is a spiritual God. He's speaking to my spirit. God wants to feed my spirit. Jesus came to rescue me out of my natural mess so I could be a spiritual being down here. See, you can't be so busy waiting to get to heaven that you ain't no good down here. That's why Jesus Christ has to become our Lord and Savior. A lot of folks just got to be Savior. But He needs to be Lord. Because as Lord, He can govern our lives. As Lord, He has a right to to tell us what to do and where to go and how to. A lot of us don't like that. We're stubborn. We are our own man. We are our own woman. We don't need God telling us anything. But I'll tell you one thing. If somebody died on the cross and purchased your life and redeemed you back to God the Father himself, I believe you ought to have a say-so somewhere in your life. I believe there's somebody that might care about you. Somebody that might love you. Somebody that looked beyond your fault and begin to supply your need. Somebody looked past your dirt and found the treasure in our trash. I'm sorry, y'all. That's why we get stuck in so much. That's why we get stuck in church. That's why church. That's why we can come in and out of church. It don't mean nothing because we're the natural. The things of God are spiritual. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Somebody's saying, Lord Jesus, I can miss Bible study this Wednesday. I got it right now. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Never underestimate the power of God's word. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened when we who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God quickens us, which means our spirit is awakened. Sin had killed our spirit. The sin of Adam and Eve in the garden killed our spirit. So God said, I got to send somebody to wake up that spirit. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. If they accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to quicken their spirit. That means my spirit came alive when I accepted Christ. As though somebody gave me some oxygen, somebody resuscitated me out of my natural mess. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversations in time past. I need to let somebody know your past ought not be like your present. If you're in Christ, I didn't say we still have issues, but something ought to change. Something ought to drop off somewhere. Conversation time passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. My God. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's spiritual. For you to sit in a church on a pew on the earth, to see yourself sitting in heavenly, in high place. That takes the spirit to see that. But I know I ain't no good. But by the blood of Jesus, I can see myself sitting in high places with my... Oh, my God. See, we belittle ourselves. My God. Look at verse 7. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have a destiny. God has a plan for our lives. Then like he told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I ordained things to happen in your life. I need to let somebody know today, God ordained that to happen. He knew who your mama was. He knew who your daddy was. He knew what you would go through. He knew who you would be married to. But it does not change the plan that he has for your life. It's hard to understand it in the natural. You got to be spiritual. God allowed God to quicken your spirit, to make your spirit come alive and get in tune with the word of God. God's promises are conditional, and some are unconditional. Conditional promises are based on our actions. The fulfillment of the promise is based on our response to God's promise to us. I would never try to downplay the fact that God speaks to us, but sometimes God speaks to us and we don't hear him. Because when you look at Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That word hearing is different. That word hearing means that you actually received it and you understood it and you grabbed it. How about our parents used to ask us, they tell us to go do something and you still sitting there 5 minutes, did you hear me? And then 10 minutes later, they grabbing the belt.
You done lost your mind? They didn't ask the same question. Did you hear me? The second question was, you done lost your mind. What I like to illustrate from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, is that what Abram did in response to God's promise, and to realize and know that God has made a promise to you, but the door to the promise is controlled by you. If you're in the natural, the door will never open. But if you're in the spirit, there's some things you need to do. It's deep because it says in 12:1, number one, Abraham had to hear God. Number one, you got to be able to hear God. That means you got to get all that other stuff all out your ear, all the people all out your face, all the people all out your house, all out your business, all out your mind, all out your meditation, all out your Bible, so you can hear God. Get all that stuff out the way. Say, I need some quiet time, y'all. No, go to park somewhere. Number one, you got to hear God. Abraham had to hear God. I'm sorry, Abram had to hear God. He's not Abraham yet, but he's on his way. So you got to see yourself being Abraham. You got to see yourself a Sarai going to Sarah. With our ups and downs. With our lies and this. Oh my God. Like Creflo Dollar said this morning, even though I fell out, I'm still righteous. Because I can go back to my daddy and say, look, I repent. Number one, Abram had to hear God. Number two, Abram had to have faith in God. He had to hear God. And number two, he had to have faith in God. Abram had to hear God. Abram had to have faith in God. And number three, Abram had to obey God by acting on his faith. Abram had to obey God by acting on his faith. Faith without works is dead. God keeps speaking to you and you're still in Haran. You ain't moved yet. You still where you were. Oh, my God. Okay. Number one. Look at verse 1, 12:1 in Genesis. Now the Lord had said. That was enough for me. I thought it stopped right there. The Lord had said to Abram. I need to ask a question today. How many of us are sitting here in this church today with a Lord had said in our spirits? The Lord has said. He told you a long time. The Lord has said. And you ain't acting on it yet. The Lord has said. I used to try to make up every excuse I could for what the Lord had said. The Lord called me to preach. I already lost. I know you make a mistake. But now the Lord has said. What do you think? The Lord has said to Abram, a long while ago, go to Canaan. And in the meantime, Abram's father, Terah, was moving towards Canaan, but stopped in Haran, and they stayed there. But the Lord had told Abram, I want you to move. I need to let somebody know that when folks start dropping off your caravan, whatever God told you to do, you still got to do. If folks don't want to go, you still got to. That's why you be careful with your road dogs and your road buddy, because sometimes they don't want to go. But God has told you to go. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now tell me that don't take faith. God, show me where I'm going. Back in 1130, Genesis 1130, that's what it said. Sarah was barren and she had no children. Because when you get to the rest of the promise, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great people. Wait, my wife can't even get pregnant, baby. What are you talking about? How you going to make me great? You tell me to leave my family and to leave my cousins. You tell me to leave all that, but you're going to make me great. Now, you tell me Abram didn't have to hear God. You got to hear God in spite of what you don't hear. Oh, I wish I had a witness. When God speaks to you, he's speaking to you, and he doesn't have to tell you everything because there's a thing called faith. But do you trust him? See, you got to trust him in your spirit. In your spirit, God is telling you, you got to see yourself leaving and going. In the natural, you can't do that. Because in the natural, I can't leave here, man. Where am I going to go? I got a new job. I have another house. I got all these cattle. Man, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I got these kids to take care of. Little Jimmy needs some Similac. Little Joey needs a pastor. Little Susie need eyeglasses. I wish I had her with me. Those are the things we go through when God tells us to move. He told him, get up, go. He had said to him, Abel could have said, God, you don't understand. My father just died, man. He just died. He set us right here in Haran. He set us up right here. You want me to leave all that? You got to see in the spirit that God's got something better than what you already got. You might be doing well. You might be looking good today. You might have a whole lot of money, a whole lot of stuff. You know what God told me when I was preparing this message? That he wants to get to a place of spiritual maturity when we stop getting excited about the cars and the houses and start seeing yourself ministering to God's people. I saw myself preaching to God's people. I saw myself ministering to God's people. God said, y'all get up out of that stuff. Oh, I'm trusting God for a house. God said, you get in the spirit, you can begin to trust me. You can see yourself preaching to thousands, serving thousands. That's spiritual maturity. When we get past that stuff is important. And God will give you that. But God said, when you stop there, you miss the whole assignment.
Right.
So Abraham had to hear God. Look at verse 2. And I will make of thee my God. I don't know. I don't know if my name was Abraham, I would have messed up. Because God making all these promises. But guess what? You got to understand who God is. Because you know what capital L-O-R-D means? That means Yahweh. You know what that means in the Hebrew? The proper name of the one true God. You got to understand the promise is not only as good as the one who has the ability to fulfill that giving you the promise. That means the proper name of the one true God. Knowledge and use of this name implies a personal covenant relationship. The name pictures God as the one who exists or causes to exist. I say, God, what's that mean? God said, I can make me a people out of one person if I want to. Capital L-O-R-D is Yahweh.
Yes.
This is Yahweh speaking to Abram. This is not no chump. This is not somebody coming with a whole bunch of empty promises trying to get Abram, trying to hoodwink him. This is the Lord God Yahweh. The I Am God.
Yeah.
The God that's going to meet Moses at the burning bush.
Yeah.
It's the I Am God. The God that divided the Red Sea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got the nerve to come and speak to Abram and his daddy died in Haran and say, get out of there. But God, can't you use somebody else? And God said, no, I picked you. Anybody ever try that? God called somebody else. God said, no, I ain't calling nobody else. I picked you. I made you and I picked you. He said, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. When you look at that, Abraham had to have faith in God. He had to look up at God and say, Lord, have mercy. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Stop looking at yourself as little. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't even know the potential, but you got to get in the spirit to get to the potential. The reason why some of us struggle with so much stuff is that we're in the flesh. We're in the natural. We're not in the spiritual. If we were in the Spirit of God would say, no, don't go there. Spirit of God said, no, get up from there. Spirit of God said, no, don't drink that. Spirit of God said, no, don't snort that. So he had to hear God, and then he had to have faith in God. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Look at verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said, like, Abram, just come on and go, because I got you. Those that bless you, I'm a bless. Those that curse you, I'm a curse. In other words, don't fear, I got you. Just walk with me. Oh my God. I love verse 4. So Abram did what? This was a conditional promise based on Abram's action to what God promised. So once Abram departed, God began to move. I need to let you know today, you're sitting on something, you're sitting on a promise, and God is waiting for you to depart. Depart means to get up and move. So he can start talking to you and start showing you some stuff. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, And look, Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, but he departed out of Haran. I said, God, what does that mean? God said, I can speak to you anytime I want. You belong to me. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care if you got a cane or not. I don't care if you're struggling with whatever. I can still speak to you. I have a plan for your life in the spirit. Look at verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. You got to get all your stuff and go. Hallelujah. He said, leave your family. That meant some folks shouldn't go with you. All right, Uncle Joe. All that nonsense, stay here in Haran. Now you can't go where I'm going, but you don't want to be, you know, you won't be you. You won't be who you want to be, okay? But he had to obey God and act on his faith. When you depart, that means you receive what God told you, and now you're ready to act on it no matter what the neighbors say. Stop checking with your neighbors. First, check if your neighbor's spiritual before you start talking about spiritual things. We go to the wrong people for counsel. We go to people that will tell us what we want to hear. Wrong answer. Go to folk. Don't go to no yes sir and yes ma'am folk. Go to folk that are gonna tell you the truth. A friend will tell you the truth. Hallelujah. Don't go to folk that are gonna dress up your mess and go ahead and drink with you and let you kill yourself and tell you all kinds of mess and you can keep on partying and wasting your money. Go to somebody gonna tell you the truth. Look, you look bad today. You need to get up out of that mess. You need to get yourself together. You need to. Nowhere does Abel went and check with some folks. You think I should go? You think I should leave? When God speaks, why you check with folk? I'm glad God's speaking to me. A lot of folk ain't speaking to you now. You want to tell me who they are. But yeah, I'm glad God's speaking to me. And when God speaks, he speaks clear. And he told Abram got himself together and got up out of there. So they took everything in the land of Canaan. And look at verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plains of Moreh. And who was in the land? In verse 5. Canaanites was in the land. That would have messed me up. How are you going to give me something? That's like somebody telling you, I'm going to give you that car. Somebody else driving down the street. How you going to give me something? And so, he said, because I am the I am God. This is what God did for him. Look at verse 6. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. First he spoke to him, but when he heard God, when he had faith in God, when he obeyed God and departed, guess what? God showed up. I need to remind somebody, God has told you to do something, and God's waiting for you to hear him and to have faith in him and to obey him, and he wants you to depart. I'm not saying get all crazy with it. Go home. My pastor said, I need to leave you. Don't use me for that excuse. That ain't right. I ain't tell you leave your husband. Or your wife. I'm telling you, listening for God's voice and the Spirit. Some people, they get a word from the Lord, they go home and use it for whatever they want it for. I'm going ahead and clean my house. You better be careful. I ain't got no house for you. I got baby Doug Jr.'s room and the ladies' room. That's about it, baby. You get welcome to that. The Canaanite was in the land. That would mess me up. God, I'm following what you told me to follow. I'm following what you told me. God, I want to move into this promise, but I want to move toward my destiny. But the Canaanite in the land. But verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed. Wow. Not unto you, Abram. That was deep. To your descendants. Unto thy seed will I give this land. In other words, don't worry about it. By the time your seed is ready to possess it, the Canaanite is going to be up and out. That's what God's trying to show you. When he begins to show you something and you go see that somebody else occupying it, God says, that's all right. But by the time I'm ready for your seed or your seed, I've never seen the righteous forsake. By the time your seed is ready for it, the Canaanite is going to be gone. It's hard to live with the Canaanites. And look what he did. In Canaanite land, in the foreign country, look what he did. He builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He marked the territory. God appeared to him in Canaan. He built an altar right there in Canaan and unto the Lord. That's deep. But you got to be focused on the promise. You can't be messed up out here. You got to hold on to that promise. But look at verse 8. And he removed from thence, because God didn't tell him to stop there. He told him to go into the land of Canaan, to a place I will show thee. And he said, this is not where I want you to stop. Canaan is where I'm going to give to your descendants. Keep on moving. He kept on moving towards, I believe in the study says, towards the south of Canaan. And he moved from there to a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. Why? Because God appeared. That's deep. I went to Canaan. The Canaanites are there. God said he's going to give this land to my descendants. And I moved on south Canaan and pitched me a tent. I'm going to hang out here for a minute because my God is here. I need to let you know wherever your God is, you got the right to hang out. I don't care who lives there. I don't care who's there. I don't care what you find when you get there. If your God shows up there, you can stay there.
Right.
See, that's the promise of God. It was a conditional promise. He pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham had to hear God. He had to have faith in God. Abraham had to obey God and act on his faith, because faith without works is dead. As we hear God and believe God and act on this belief, God will meet us and speak with us. Did he not speak to Abram? First, he told him to go. And then when he went, he met him. God about ready to meet somebody, but you're not at the meeting place. You know, you're still in Haran. God spoke to you. God had said, you are still, God is waiting somewhere in Canaan for you, and you still trying to figure out whether or not you're going to go. God's promise is a conditional promise. God has a plan for your life. It's not in the natural realm. It's in the spiritual realm. You need faith. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 said, God has a plan. Guess that word plan means? He got a plot. He done set us up for your life. And he's waiting for you to get to the point where he's supposed to meet you. I don't know who the message is for today, but God has a plan for your life. And it starts at the cross. Hallelujah. The first part of the plan is salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when he becomes your Lord and Savior, God will begin to speak to you in your spirit. And God will begin to make promises to you in your spirit. And you got to find a place in your spirit to hear God. And a place in your spirit to have faith in God. And then you got to have enough spirit to get up and depart from your Haran and go into your Canaan. That's how this thing works. God wants you to know today that he said something to you and you brushed it off. But now that you're in the spirit, God is saying you need to learn how to pack up, pick up, and pursue. My God. What does that mean? That you don't need to take everything that you accumulated with you, just some of the stuff. Ask Job. After it's all said, after the dust settled, what did he give? Did he give more? That's all God is saying. Don't be afraid to leave what you think you need to go get what you need to get. That's what God is saying to the church. That's what this 21-day fast is about. Don't be afraid to leave your Haran and go to the Canaan. And God will appear to us. He's already appeared to somebody. He spoke to somebody in their prayer already. God's already speaking to people. He's already spoken to people already in the church before they even started the fast. Somebody got their healing. They was almost ready to tell the doctor, I don't need no more of your appointments. But God said, no, I want you to go to your appointment so the doctor's mind can be blown. That's why God does stuff sometimes. God said, I want you to know, and if somebody else, God said, you know what? You've been praying for a job, and guess what? It's on the way. As soon as you get up and move, as soon as you depart, You waiting in the wrong place. They delivered your mail in Canaan. You in Haran talking about, I ain't getting no mail. Guess why? God changed your address. You still living in the old house. But the promises of God are true and they are real. And you just need to know today that God is speaking to you in your spirit. And God is saying, in your spirit, I need you to make a move. I need you to understand me. I need you to have faith in me. I need you to move towards me. And I will meet you there. And you can set up an altar there because it belongs to you and your seed and your seed. See, you have an inheritance through Jesus Christ. The promises of God. Move into your destiny. Your destiny is either natural or spiritual. If you're a Christian, you have a spiritual destiny. Move towards it. Stop being afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody looked at me like, man, if you don't sit down and get off my case, they look at me like, you all up in my business. You all up in my prayer life. I just had to talk about God like that last night. And God let me off the hook. And you keep on looking at me talking about, get up, come on now. Use your gifts. Come on now. Depart. Now you still living in Haran. And your mail is going to Canaan. And you, all you got to do is call my name. I'll come up front. But that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The God will give the messenger the message in order to minister unto us. That's why I said, don't sit here in the natural. Don't sit here with your arms folded in the natural, because you're going to miss out. You're going to look up Abram and his family is gone, and you were supposed to go with them. The church will be going to another height, and you're still sitting here. You're still doing the 23rd Psalm, and we at Psalm 150, praising God, lifting up the name of Jesus. It's time to go along. Time, come on. Stop, get off the outskirts of Christianity. Come on in the city. The book of Acts said there was great joy in the city. Get up off your excuses. We make too many excuses. We rationalize. We could go every place else except church. I can't make it. I told you before, I see y'all all over the world. I got to go to Russia fast. I can't make it. All over the place. Hallelujah. Ain't got none for God. I ain't got no money. I saw you at the mall. Saw you on Facebook. Told you. Saw you. Ha ha. Holding up the stuff you bought. Ha ha. Uh oh. I ain't gonna say none because it's between you and God, right? People tell me, Pastor, my gift is between me and God. I say, you better be careful. They think they're telling me something, but guess what? You gotta have time for God. It's in your spirit. You gotta have time. That's why when you choose a church to join, go to a place where you're going to be fed. Don't look for a place you're going to have fun all the time. Because all this ministry ain't fun. Some of this stuff is serious. You hook up with Sherry and Dee. Go to Dorney Park for a full day of fun. I was here yesterday. They came back. Everybody came with that bus. I'm like, woo. I said, how y'all make out? We had a good time. But I'm wiser now because when they left, I said, Sunday school at 9, service at 10 when they left. So I know I'm not to tell nobody that when you get back because you might get spiritually cursed out when they get back. They was like whipped. The kids was whipped. When nobody said anything. I asked Tasha, y'all got a ride? I was going to take them home. I said, who's taking you? I think. Can y'all talk? I think Miss Jenny going to take us. Pat Green was tired. She's standing there. Who's taking them? And I love Mother Ellen's grandchildren. They will know why I didn't go. The promises of God. And when I open the doors of the church, I want you to consider what God has said to you. You cannot fulfill the promise of God on the outside of the church. You got to belong to Him. He's got to be Lord and Savior. When I open the doors of the church, consider what God has spoken to you, not just today, but throughout your life and this very moment through His Word. I know I use Abram as an example, but God said, put your name in there. God has said to you that I want you to be my servant. I want you to be my child. I will take care of you. I will embrace you. I will love you. I will protect you. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. You ain't got to fight no more. Let us all stand. God has promised, and you need to act on that promise. Some of us in here, you need to move towards Canaan. Somebody else needs to come to the cross. It all starts at the cross. Where are you today? We open the doors of God's house. God has speaking to you today.